Hi, it's so nice to be here, and what an honor to be asked to speak. And I've been very welcome in this group for a little over a year now. So I'm Kathy, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I felt very much intimidated. I listen to podcasts every day from different parts of the country, and tomorrow morning when I listen to it, I'm going to be more appreciative because it's not easy. They make it sound so easy. So, as I said, I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. That's where I'm coming from. And I have been abstinent now for 432 days, from sugar, from overeating. I'll tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'm what they call a retread. I didn't used to like that term, but I've actually been in program since January 3rd of 1985. I came to my first OA meeting, and I came because I was kind of about what I'd call the walking dead. I was about 24 years old, probably about 240 pounds. I'd already had a childhood growing up on Long Island with 7 out of 8 kids, with a lot of pain, a lot of secrets, a lot of the things that people in recovery probably have gone through themselves. But I didn't know it, but I was really kind of the walking wounded, maybe the walking dead already, spiritually, emotionally. And I didn't know. I was so numbed out and so oblivious and in so much pain. I had a job and I had an education, and that's about all I had. I had an apartment with like one folding chair, a TV that you could fit in a purse, and a closet full of empty wine bottles and grocery bags. And I would just draw the blinds on Friday night and usually not see a soul until Monday. And then I'd go back to my job with my nice education where all these people had a life. I didn't know what to do. So I think God reached out one day and gave me the idea to go to a counselor. And I went, and I was shocked because I thought that was the answer. And she said to me, after she listened to me for a while, that she wasn't going to be willing to be my counselor unless I went to Overeaters Anonymous. I was really surprised. Didn't grow up with counseling, by the way. So this was like, I thought this was great, you know, that I was doing something that was going to fix me. So I went to my first meeting right away. I think I went the next day. In the church basement in Knoxville, Tennessee. There was no internet then, you know, there was no OA literature. But somebody later told me I spoke for 20 minutes without stopping, just like today. But I didn't know anything. I don't remember what I said. She just told me years later, she said, Kathy, I think if we hadn't just let you talk, I think you would have died. So I still relate to an AA speaker who said, whenever she's asked to speak, I never want to talk because it was so painful. So I proceeded to come to life. My life was saved. I went to the meetings they had. They had 3 days a week. In 9 months, I lost 100 pounds, and I really started to figure out everything pretty much. In November of that year, I mean September, after I lost 100 pounds, I decided that it was time to look for a man. So I thought, well, I could go to the bars, but then there was a newly sober priest in one of our OA meetings. I thought he'd be a good candidate, you know, a relationship, right? So I found out that he went to an AA meeting, and I got on this blue silk blouse and went to the AA meeting, and I found him, but I also found a room full of alcoholics telling their story, and I ended up picking up a white chip. So September 11th of this year, I'll have 39 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, which I am extremely grateful for because thank God, you know, something kept me sober all these years. So I went on to have a lot of my life really became, you know, of course, very happy, very different. There was a lot of work, but there was a lot of love, and I found a family of choice in recovery. And that's pretty much the last 40 years have been like that. But there were lots of things that I didn't know was going to happen when I went to my first meeting. So to just kind of kind of get out of the way some of the numbers. I look at pictures of myself at three, and I was a pretty chubby, as they say, child. And at six, there was a picture of me. There's not many pictures because I was a seventh out of eight, and it was all group shots by that time. So at 10, I looked, maybe a little bit overweight. And then it really all got black in adolescence because I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea. I'd come back from school, and these girls every year, 11, 12, 13, they all started to look beautiful. They had clothes, they had hair. And all I knew was I didn't want to go shopping anymore because it was so embarrassing. And I would just take my brother's jeans. It was the only thing that would fit. I mean, I was just a very sad, sad creature, about 160 pounds by the time I was 16, and I'm 5'5". So losses, like I said, there was abuse in the family, there was violence. By the time I was 20, both my parents were gone. So it was just a lot of stuff. So went to college. I was always smart. So I get through college, get some of my first jobs in journalism, and that's where how I ended up in Tennessee. So I went to my first OA meeting, got abstinent pretty much right away. The things that still stick with me from that still are true today. When I got in relapse about 10 years ago, little by very, very little, it was like the blinds would get pulled up. I didn't want to admit I was in relapse. I didn't have any awareness. And little by little, it would come back to me. How did I do this? I want that back. I want to be new again. How did I do that? And it just took me a long time, to be honest. Recovery gave me a great life. I went on to have all the jobs I ever wanted, all the degrees I ever tried. I've changed careers three times. I'm a college professor. I mean, I've met celebrities, So all this time I had this parallel that I had a lot of good stuff because I stayed sober and I'd worked the steps and I had recovery. I never thought I left OA, but I got real involved in some of those good things and let the denial crept in, focused on church, got married, focused on that and kids. And I was happy, but I was completely unabstinent. As soon as I was pregnant with my first child, I just threw it out the window. That was just, and I looked back and what happened is I did not keep enough conscious contact. I stopped doing the things that got me in recovery. I stopped having quiet times. I stopped going to meetings. I just, I wouldn't, or if I went to the meeting, I wouldn't talk about what was really going on. I didn't stay abstinent. I didn't say that to anybody. The weight kept going up, and this went on off and on. I have friends here in Phoenix more than 30 years in the same meetings. And I don't want to blame anybody, but I've finally realized about 5 years ago that I needed to go somewhere else. I needed to be anonymous again. I needed to be new again. Like I said, very slowly admitting to myself that I was in relapse. So, but the things that I found originally that I've rediscovered is that I forgot and got in denial because of the disease that if I do gain weight, somehow my body had magically ballooned overnight. It was back to not connecting eating with it and food, that there were feelings under there that I was completely oblivious again. I experienced in this program twice now, originally and then getting absent again, this magic, this powerful reality that the great fact of my life is two things. One, until I talked to somebody else and said, I need to tame my food, nothing changed. Until I got a sponsor or someone like a sponsor, until I started to get specific about what I was going to eat and tell somebody else, everything just started over every day at 8 o'clock, and by noon it was off to the races. So that finally changed about a year and a half ago in here. The other thing is that early on, I had this incredible experience that changed my life where I realized when I didn't eat, feelings came up and things I had no clue about surfaced in my life. And that's been going on for almost 40 years. And it's hard sometimes, but it also is the solution, and it gets me somewhere. My needs aren't being met. When I'm in the food, my needs aren't met, and I don't even know it. I've had all kinds of emotional things, relationship things, job things that have gone wrong, while at the same time I had what looked like a really happy, successful marriage, staying sober, being, active in every church activity
Convenience.
there was. So that was my life for about 20 some years. Probably I stayed the same weight and abstinent for I'd say 12 to 15 years. And then I probably spent about another 10 or 12 or 15 just gradually gaining weight again. But I was doing so many good things that I was being rewarded for. I was raising my kids in the church and homeschooling and it getting bigger and bigger. So what happened was that I finally once I still remember hearing people in my home OA group here in person. This one guy, and I won't say his name because he comes online, but I would kind of not hate, but I remember going, why does he have to keep talking about all these phone meetings? Why is he keeps talking over and over about these internet things? And I didn't know anything about it. And I thought, I don't know how to get on there. But he kept talking about all these things outside this local meeting and going to conventions and sober alcoholic foods and everything. So, I just wouldn't go to anything but this one meeting. And then I was unhappy with it. So finally, one Thursday night, I think it was in 2022, I just was tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I went on an internet meeting blindly. I didn't even know how I picked it. It was in Montana or something. But it really, I heard different people. I heard people who were abstinent. Then they told me about, I think I got on another meeting in Canada. I searched and searched probably for a year or two, not searched outside, inside, for an answer until I became willing to actually take a different action. Besides the group that's 3 miles from my house that I knew everything and knew everybody, so they couldn't tell me anything. And I wouldn't tell them I was in relapse, as if they couldn't tell. My top weight was 240, and I had lost 100 pounds in 1985. And in the relapse, I got almost back, not quite, but almost to 240. So currently, I'm down 55 pounds from that top weight. Got quite a bit more to go, about 30 pounds. But so I then I got on a Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas meeting, and that really opened my eyes because for the first time in I don't know how long, when I lived in Knoxville, I went to AA meetings every day. We didn't have OA every day, but we could go to AA every day. I went in this 12 days of Christmas meeting, and I guess for 12 days they had a meeting every night. And it was the same people. I got abstinent. I got more than a day or two. And I realized it was the everydayness. So then I think somebody told me about the Big Book meeting, this meeting, the Footsteps group. And I started going. And in February of 2023, I finally got up the courage to ask somebody, could I email or talk to you about my food? So the thing that changed for me, what happened to get out of relapse, was that I just had to keep trying to do something different and reach out. And when I got on this meeting, like the 12 days of Christmas meeting, I heard people talking about going every day. They were all talking about specific foods. They were all talking about sponsors and steps and feelings. But it was not wishy-washy. It was not, so again, I'm not trying to blame anybody, but there were some other groups in person that I kept going to for years where I just don't think most people were abstinent, and I needed to go somewhere where I was going to be anonymous again and I was going to be new. And I just, if I had to hear it every day, I had to hear it every day. And little by little, between this meeting live, and then people would talk about podcasts. Now I listen to a podcast every day unless I go to a meeting. So little by little, I became willing as I got out of the food and I had more awarenesses. So it didn't lose weight fast, but then I was out of the sugar and I would get more and more clarity. And then it would come to me that, oh, I'm not weighing and measuring, or oh, that food's not the best. So I did get a sponsor in March of last year, and I probably worked the steps much more slowly than she wanted, but but I worked them. I'd done the steps many times in many years in many programs for many issues, and they all that recovery stays with me. I mean, I agree that I don't think anything's wasted in God's
Positive.
economy. Thank you. But this time now, for the first time in I don't know how many years, 15, I was really back-to-back abstinent. I was out of the sugar. It just felt different. And I worked through the steps, got through fi the fifth step with her, I don't know, a few months ago, and then started doing amends. And so what it's like now is that I feel like I'm continuing to have awarenesses every day. I just have a lot more willingness, a lot, some things I couldn't just make myself do. I feel like God finally just had to little by little take something away that was keeping me from doing something as simple as turning off the TV and, spending some time with God. But I need to do things every day like I heard people here do. That's what I kept hearing in the podcast. That's what I kept hearing in these meetings. I need a lot, or it slips back in like floodwaters under the door. So every day I've got to have some contact in the program. I have a routine of foods. There's no sugar. I wrestled with breads for a while, and a few weeks ago I finally let go of that. I try to, move and exercise, and I have a really good, active spiritual life, but I have to make time for all this. That was one of my biggest battles, is I was busy. I was raising children, and then I was working, and I'm always doing something important. And that really is what did me in. That's what did me in. So I feel more vulnerable. A lot of days, some days, I can tell if I'm getting emotionally a little unstable or I'm sensitive, and that's because I don't have the cushion of food. And what cures that for me is the time alone with my higher power. If I spend time in the morning, ideally for me, two times a day, 20 minutes. It's usually not that, but if I start my day with some of those quiet time things, if I could get 20 minutes or t even 10 minutes later in the day, then I'm not so rocked, by the insecurities. So the food is gone and the layer's gone. And then, I'm either, what used to happen is I'd either rage at somebody or I'd, sorry, somebody, I knew this would happen. Somebody's calling me this. So I'd either rage at somebody like my kids or my husband, or I'd be shot, rocked by something at work, and then I'd fall apart. And it wouldn't end well. So little by little, that's getting better, but I just have to do these things every day. So, but I'm very grateful, and I appreciate being asked to share. And I just hope that there's one little thing that'll help somebody, because I've had a great journey for 39 years, and I've had real miracles in my life in many areas and healing. My kids, one daughter that I hurt a lot when I was in the food with my anger and my attitudes, she comes around more now, and she wants to spend time with me. And I'm very aware of the things I do still do on a daily basis with my husband. At least I'm aware when I'm not being nice to him, and I'm willing to look at that. So thank you. That's all I have, but I appreciate being asked.